Hurry in to Mattress Firm's July 4th sale. Get a king bed for the price of a queen or a queen for a twin and save up to $500 on Sealy. Plus, get a free adjustable base with qualifying Sealy purchase up to a $499 value. Or shop Tempur-Pedic, the most highly recommended bed in America, and save $500 on all Tempur-Breeze mattresses. And get a $300 instant gift good towards sleep accessories. Only at Mattress Firm. Restrictions apply. See store or mattressfirm.com for details.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this 24th day of June, Friday, 2022. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about tonight. We really do. And so, you know what? It was 49 years ago, Dr. Jack Wilkie said to me, Ernie, I don't think I'll see Roe v. Wade overturned in my lifetime, but you'll probably see it, or you may see it, in your time. And he was right. And tonight we have, he's courageous and outrageous on the board, none other than Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
Way out yonder. Well, actually, sitting right across from me here, we have What's Right, What's Left contributor, none other than the Ritz, Ron Ritz.
Good evening, everyone, on this most joyous day.
Alrighty. Way out yonder in Texas, we have none other than the co-founder for Cops for Christ International and National Chaplain John McTernan.
Hello, Pastor Ernie. God bless you. And as always, God bless all our listeners.
Alrighty. And like a rose between a bunch of thorns, we have with us tonight Miss Kate Macra from Ohio Right to Life and Ohio Pro-Life Action Committee.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. And I just can make a quick correction. I'm from Cleveland Right to Life. We don't like to be confused with Ohio Right to Life.
Oh, I said I meant Cleveland Right to Life. Boy, we really don't, do we? Okay.
No, do not. Alrighty. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, okay. But you're with Ohio Pro-Life Action Committee too, right?
Yeah, the Right to Life Action Coalition of Ohio, yes, sir.
Yeah, and I know I'm part of it too, even if I don't... If I don't pronounce it right, but anyhow.
That's okay. We know who you are.
Yeah. Katie, I've been in this battle for 49 years, and we've been waiting for this day. It's been a long time coming, hasn't it?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Oh, Pastor, I can't even explain to you the joy that has just gone like a ripple effect throughout the pro-life community. And, you know, of course, we had a little sneak preview last month when that decision was leaked, you know, the draft. But I was always kind of thinking, well, you know, maybe they just floated that out there. Somebody leaked it out to test the waters. And, you know, I just was kind of like, okay, I'm going to be a doubting Thomas just for this one occasion, and I'm just going to wait until, you know, the release actually happens. And today it was even better than I could have possibly imagined.
Well,
I took about 5 minutes to cry tears of joy, and then I had to get to work. But it was amazing, and I'm just so blessed that I could be part of this this organization and the pro-life community on such a special day.
Well, we're glad to have you. We need you for sure. All right, we're going to get right into our scripture tonight. And the title of the message tonight, and we start here in Psalm 2, is Why Do the Heathen Rage? And boy, the heathen are raging even as we speak. The heathen are raging. Are you there, John McTernan?
I'm here, Pastor Ernie.
Folks, we have kind of a sad thing in a sense. But we got good news and bad news. The good news is it looks like John Holman may be improving a little bit. Wouldn't you say, McTernan?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie. They performed another procedure on him today, and there was sort of an upbeat look towards him from the medical people working on him. And Monday or Tuesday, they're going to take him out of sedation, and see if they can, how his heart responds. Because I found out today, Pastor Ernie, that he was, his heart had stopped for 3 minutes.
Wow.
And they revived him after 3 minutes. So they are concerned about brain damage and other damage.
Well, we've got to keep him in prayer. And he was, he's a soldier. He was a warrior, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, Pastor Ernie. I mean, for the babies and then for the elderly.
And, Katie, you're here with some old-time vets. We've been in this battle for the beginning. John McTernan has been a real leader in Pennsylvania, especially, where he took on a very, very corrupt Planned Parenthood, beat him and sued him and won.
And,
that was a stunning victory, Pastor Ernie, when everything was overturned in the appeals, and we won, and it was stunning. It was stunning.
You know, let's get into that later. Let's right now. I got to tell the folks, there's a little bit of sadness. John's mechanical Bible has broke, and now he's got to go back to the book. And he's
I'm back to the Gutenberg printing press Bible.
Right, and he didn't quite remember how it worked. But now he's, and I'm going to have him start up. John, would you read Psalm chapter 2? Just read it all the way through.
Well, Pastor Ernie, I talked to you before the show, and I asked you to have mercy on me, and apparently you had no mercy.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's what happened. My computer's down, and I have to go back to the Gutenberg way to read the Bible now.
But you can do it, John.
You have confidence in me.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. And then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and in his and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill, Mount Zion. Hang on here, Pastor Ernie.
I'll pick it up from here, John. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, and this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possessions. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O you kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. So we go back here to verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and people imagine a vain thing? And the kings of the earth set themselves and rulers take counsel together against the Lord. So those are out there right now tonight, the heathen are raging tonight. And is there fight against us, or is there fight against God?
Pastor Ernie, their fight ultimately is against God, and we're the sort of the mediator between them and God right now. And it's very interesting. I wasn't able to pick up too much today, Pastor Ernie, because of my computer being down. But I was able to pick up some quotes from the hard left abortion people, and they clearly were saying it's religious, and it's coming from the Christian right in America. So they are penning this to us, which I consider a great honor.
Yeah. Well, here, John and Katie, you just jump right in. You guys have a comment. Just jump right in. He says, let's break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. In other words, they want nothing to do with God's people. They want nothing to do with God's people. They want nothing to do with God's word.
Lord's word. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying.
And so here, so they're, now, again, we're seeing the heathen. Look, you've got Joe Biden in the White House. Joe Biden is a pedophile. It's a known fact that he is. Joe Biden claims to be a good Catholic. If Joe Biden's a good Catholic, I'm Dolly Parton. Joe Biden is nowhere near or nothing to do. He is as far away from being a Christian as you can be. Joe Biden is a heathen to the core. Okay, he is pro death. And when I tell you that I don't make this, look, we have, well, what do we have there? You're going to put something up on the internet here soon, aren't you, Rick?
Yeah, there's videos out there pretty much on YouTube, BitChute, and Rumble, but there's a compilation of about 10 minutes of Joe Biden literally groping children. They're doing a photo shoot for the Senate, the new senators coming in. And in every instance, you can actually see him push the parents away and grab the children, so he's got his hands all over them. And when you watch 10 minutes of this, if you don't think he's a pedophile, then you should never be around children, because it's clear as day.
Well, what Biden had gone to try to campaign for one of the senators, a younger guy who I don't think he made it, okay? And here he had gotten his hands on their little girl, and his wife pushed Biden away and pulled the little girl towards
him.
But here...
Oh, Harry, I think that was the senator from Delaware.
Was it? Okay, yeah.
I think it was.
She was a blonde-haired lady, very pretty. And the little girl was...
I can't think of his name right now, Pastor Ernie, but that was the daughter from the senator of Delaware.
Well, but, you know, the most damning thing of all is Joe Biden's daughter's diary.
Yeah,
we read from the diary here, and it was, she said her father made her take showers with him as an adolescent and as a teenager, that really affected her. I mean, it really affected her mentally.
Yeah,
and gave her a very perverted sex life. Okay, made her running out to actually turned her into a whore, okay? And so here he goes on. Now listen to this. Now I want you to think about this, and just kind of close your eyes and picture this next verse. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Did we see Nancy Pelosi? Did we see Chucky Schumer? Did we see those screaming? Over here we have a picture out there today of what took place out there. You've got these hordes of screaming women. You've got this one and she's in her underwear. She's out there in her underwear, and she's got red paint on her private parts, okay? But here, these people are in total derision, okay? And so, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Look, what do you think the effect's going to be? Now think about this. With the red states, the ones that have gone pro-life, and the death states, the blue states that have gone pro-death, you're going to see crime rise, you're going to see crime, you're going to see the drug addiction. In all of those blue states, it's going to be just like the major cities. They're going to deteriorate. The sin, they've embraced sin. The Bible says, I've set before you this day life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life and a blessing. They're choosing to be cursed. They're choosing to be cursed by God.
Yes, Mr. Ernie, I'd like to add something, if you don't mind.
Sure. Yeah, that's why you're here.
Yeah, and I know. Well, I don't want to interrupt your golden words of wisdom there. But I know you remember this because we brought it up several times, that that wretched ex-governor of New York, Cuomo, and when the assembly of New York there voted to have abortion unfettered right up to the moment of delivery.
Oh, even after that.
They celebrated that.
They didn't get that in New York. No, they went as far as right up to delivery. But when he signed it, it was like a circus. It was
a celebration.
A celebration. They were cheering and clapping. And then he had the audacity to say that pro-life people are not wanted in New York State, and they should get out. They're not wanted.
Yeah. It was Virginia, the governor of Virginia, who was a doctor, a former doctor, said he was the one that said that people should have a few days after the child's born to decide whether or not to keep the child. But now that bill in California, I don't know, was it signed into law yet?
No, what it is, Pastor Ernie, is the state, the House of Representatives approved it. And it's going to the Senate now. And what that is, it's like up to, I think, 28 days.
28 days, yeah. Maryland's the same way, too.
Maryland?
It's in the Senate, yeah, 28 days.
28 days.
That's as evil gets. I mean, these people are evil. They're asking God to curse them. And you know, that's why we prayed those imprecatory prayers against New York and Maryland and Virginia and California, against the state legislators. We're asking, like David did and like the psalmist did, that they want death. The Bible says all of those that hate God, and they hate God, love death. So we're asking God to save the innocent, to visit that death upon those that love it, to visit that very death upon those that love it. So he says here, I will declare the decree the Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, and this day have I begotten thee. Now that happened one time, will never happen again, okay? That's a one time, one in a lifetime happening, one forever, where God the Son was begotten. In other words, he became the only, let me see, divine, if you will, Son of God. Now you see, what that means is like everyone that's saved are sons and daughters of God. But Christ is not only the Son of God, but he's God the Son. And so here we go on and we see, ask of me and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. He should get it because he created it, didn't he? Okay, and here, thou shalt break them with a rod of... You hear that, Joe Biden? You hear that, Chuckie Schumer? You hear that, Nancy Pelosi? Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them into pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O you kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Let me tell you now. That court of 1973, every one of them are now believers. See, there are no unbelievers in heaven or hell. In both heaven and hell, you're a believer. You know, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and so they're all believers now, and I got a feeling that Blackmun and Marshall and the others, as seven of those nine right now, are in a very, very hot place in hell, a special hot place in hell.
On several occasions, Blackmun said that he was going to take Roe to the grave with him.
Yeah.
No regrets. No regrets, and he was going to take it to his grave. Well, Pastor Ernie, he wrote the opinion on Roe versus Wade, and the law then bent to his opinion, you know, legalizing abortion. So the way I look at it, I'm pointing at him as the one that wrote it, but the other justices also, God is going to hold them accountable for every single abortion that took place under Roe versus Wade.
He says their blood will cry out and bear witness against them, huh? Millions and millions.
Yeah, he'll be held accountable for every one of those babies that, quote, legally died under Roe versus Wade. Oh, my goodness, Pastor Ernie. Oh, what he's accountable for in hell before the Lord.
Yeah Pastor Ernie, if I could just jump in here for a minute. I am also an attorney. So when I went to law school, we studied that case very, carefully. And, I remember, of course, all my liberal professors in law school just thought it was the greatest thing ever. And then the 1992 case, which was the companion case to that, which is, Planned Parenthood v. Casey, that then went on to expand even what Roe held, So then they came up with this whole undue burden nonsense. And, that opened the door for women to say that, any time that it was in the, quote, undue burden to carry the baby to term, that they had license to, to commit murder, basically. And, people always talk about Roe, and that was just the first step, of course. But then the Planned Parenthood v. Casey case just kind of sent it rolling downhill, and it's been all downhill from there. And I cannot tell you. You were talking about the evil and the histrionics of these people, these mobs outside. And I held a press conference this afternoon in downtown Cleveland, and I got to experience a little bit of that firsthand, because we were out there just peacefully, staying our peace, and this small but very noisy and obnoxious group of people came over and were trying to scream at us while our press conference was going on. And there, one woman came over, and as we were speaking, and she actually screamed out, "I can't wait to kill my baby." And I couldn't even believe what I was hearing. I thought, there is no other explanation for it other than that the devil has a hold of him, and evil is very real. So, one of the reporters asked me afterwards, "Well, how do you react to that? These people that are shouting and screaming and everything." And I said, "Well, I pity them. Because they can't recognize the truth. So we will pray for them, but, in the end, it's up to them to decide, where they're going to spend eternity." And I don't hold out a lot of hope. Of course, I'm not the final judge, but from what I saw today, it was unbelievable. I mean, these people are really digging in their heels, and they have no fear of God whatsoever. And it's sad. It really is sad. I do pity them, but we have to buckle down, because these people are going to get even more vicious and more violent. So, we just need to be on our guard. And I just pray for everybody's safety, all of us in the pro-life movement and all the churches, all the pregnancy centers. We have our work cut out for us, for sure.
Katie, going back in the early days, right when it was passed, I was one of those activists that went into the abortion mills. I would go in right inside and preach them, heaven sweet and hell hot. And back in those days, I was shot at three times. They tried to run me over. I don't know how many times. One guy tried to stab me in the eye. Others tried to flatten the tires on my car. I even had, I got into it with dirty cops who were on the payroll of the bloody abortion mill. And I went after them. They actually put a contract on me. And the clean cops were the ones that, came out and sat and watched and told me, look, because I went on the radio, and what had happened is I was out preaching in front of Bloody Martin Ruddock's abortion mill when two whores came up from behind me. And you say, well, how do you know you were whores? Well, all you'd had to do, if you'd been there, you'd have known. Anyhow, what happened, they sprayed me. They tapped me on the shoulder, and they sprayed me with mace in my eyes. So I called the cops, and when the police came down, I told them, and they went in, and guess what they do? They go into the abortionist's office, and there's an envelope filled with cash sitting on the table. And these two cops were really stupid because they picked up the envelope, walked out with it, where I could see it with the cash sticking out of it, and they said, hey, Pastor, if they don't want to hear it, they don't want to hear it. I said, you guys don't make enough money? As police officers, they said, no, we don't make enough. And they were laughing. I said, hey, I'm going to help you out. Don't worry about it. So I had their names and badge numbers. I went on the air. I said, look, these guys aren't making enough money. If you've got something where you need cops, dirty cops with absolutely no morals, they would sell their mother or grandmother. Maybe you have cockfights or dogfights or maybe child porn, and you want some dirty cops, call them. And I gave their names and phone numbers out. Right over there. Then I went in, and I went down to press charges. And when I went in there, the commander, it was an office. And if you could have seen this, John, there was probably about like 20 desks in there and all these women sitting at the desks. And this guy says to me, Pastor, you know, if they don't want to hear it, they don't want to hear it. I said, yeah, like really loud. I said, yeah. That's like John the Baptist when he said, Herod! Right? I mean, I was shouting. And this guy got all in a panic. I mean, see, you got to stand up to these people, okay? And here you had this. I remember you had their prosecutor who would come by. He was a black man, a heavy duty, big guy, and driving his Cadillac. And he would flip me his IQ. So one day when he did that, I was just about to leave. I followed him right over to his office, and I went in there. I wanted him, and I walked right in, and I said, I want to find out why the prosecutor is flipping me the IQ and being disrespectful without a cause. And you know what he did? He ran out the back door to show you. And so this is what you have with these people. You see, I remember, Katie, in the old days, we didn't have any boring days at all, none. Hang tight, we'll be back right after this.
The doctor did our dirty work, so now we pay the bill. We thought he solved our problem, but our life's a living hell. I toss and turn in bed at night, 'cause God, it's hard to sleep. In my heart and in my mind I hear a voice that says to me, you could have took me fishing, Dad. You could have taught me how to swim. I could have made you proud of me. Now I'll never have that chance. I could have been your little boy, standing right there by your side. I could have been your pride and joy. Daddy, did I have to die? I never thought of it as right or wrong, but I think about it now. Oh, God, I'd give my life if I could just turn time back somehow. I'd let him live and watch him grow. Oh, I'd buy him everything. But now he won't need a ball or bat. he'll never play one game. You could have been my hero, Dad. You could have done what daddies do. You could have rode me on your back. You could have taught me to tie my shoes. I could have grown into a man. I should have had my chance at life. We could have been the best of friends. Daddy, did I have to die? God, the choice of life belongs to you. It wasn't hers or mine. And I know she feels the same way too. Sometimes I hear her cry. How can we ever be the same or live with what was done? Instead of these two broken hearts, God, we might have had a son. You could have been my hero, Dad. You could have done what daddies do. You could have rode me on your back. You could have taught me to tie my shoes. I could have been your little boy, standing right there by your side. I could have been your pride and joy. Daddy, did I have to die? Daddy, did I have to die?
All righty, we are back. And listen, I got a question for Katie. Katie, you said you went to law school as an attorney. Did they know about this thing? Did they know about the Constitution?
Well, yes, in sort of a strange sort of way. They did, and they loved to celebrate it when it, you know, when the decisions, you know, I had, it's actually my constitutional law professor was a crazy wild feminist, so you can imagine how that went. And they were, back, you know, they weren't as obnoxious as they are today outwardly anyway. I mean, they at least tried to maintain a semblance of, you know, being professorial and professional, but it was very clear where they stood. And in fact, my second year in law school, the professor brought in the attorney who actually argued on behalf of, you know, Jane Roe. So she came in and gave a big speech to the whole law school, and everybody was cheering her and everything else. And I, you know, I just sat there with my arms folded, and, you know, I was younger and quieter, and so I just kind of kept to myself. But I never gave in. You know, these people, yeah, they're aware of the Constitution when it serves their purpose, to answer your question, Pastor. But you know, as soon as it you know, it espouses something they don't like, for example, the Second Amendment, or the First Amendment, when, you know, when people that they don't like speak up, you know, suddenly they just think, you know, they think it's a living, breathing document, and that's their approach, and they think it can be just changed just based on, you know, on the will of, you know, the activist judges that are on the court. And well, you know, I think it's egregious what's been happening, and I'm just so grateful to I'm grateful to Donald Trump for making sure that we got three conservatives on that court, you know, and that enabled this decision to come down today. So,
well, do you know that he was asked, Liz Wheeler asked Donald Trump about, you know, here, now, are you pleased? Are you responsible for this with your appointment of those three judges? And he said, no, give the credit to God. God. Now, Donald Trump gave the credit to God for doing this. and Joe Biden.
That's great.
But Joe Biden was giving the credit to Donald Trump. He was out there today talking about, this is the Trump judges. Trump judges is what he was saying. But let me ask you this, since you went to law school and they studied the Constitution, because I studied the Constitution too, but I could never find emanations of a penumbra in there. Could you...
Yes, that was always an interesting twisting of, you know, I couldn't figure it out. You know, they, as far as I'm concerned, they just invented this right. They said it was a penumbra, this right to privacy, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I'm pretty cut and dried when it comes to stuff like that. You know, if it's not my Constitution, then it shouldn't be, you know, held out as the law of the land. And it's been, you know, and even people on the other side of the, you know, of the issue, and, you know, even Ruth Bader Ginsburg herself, you know, had commented many times that Roe was bad law. And, you know, the people on the other side are just so blinded by their ideology that they just can't think rationally. I've really come to that conclusion that they actually have no brain cells that are functioning that would allow them to be rational, because all they react to is, you know, feeling and emotion and screaming. And when something doesn't go their way, they act like little spoiled little babies. And, you know, they're going to scream and yell and, you know, act out just like, you know, a disturbed person would. And so, yeah, that's my long-winded way of saying, no, there is no such thing in the Constitution. And it's a travesty that we had to see that endure for 49 years and lose 60 million plus innocent babies.
Way plus, Katie, it's about twice that number. I've talked to a number of abortionists that have come out of the business, and every single one of them told me that they only, it's a common practice within the child killing industry, you only claim one out of every two babies you kill. That's a common practice. Bernard Nathanson told me that. Carol Everett told me that. It's a common practice.
Doesn't surprise me.
No. Yeah, it's because of taxes. You know, what they claim. Yeah, so here, that's an interesting thing. Do you know what the very, very first command God gave was? And he gave it three times between Genesis 1 and Genesis 9. The very first command God gave to mankind.
Thou shalt not kill.
Be
fruitful and multiply.
You got it. Be fruitful and multiply. That means to have babies, right? There's a difference between giving birth and killing a child, right?
I would say so, yes, sir.
Okay, so now, here when they say, well, because the argument used to be, if you remember, John, it's not really killing a child because there's no proof of life. And so the question was, if it's not alive, then why do you have to kill it? I mean, just leave it alone, right? If it's not alive. But, of course, they never had an answer for that. But later on, go ahead.
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, if you remember, in Roe versus Wade, in the decision, they said that we do not know when life begins. They actually said that.
They should have asked me. I could have told them.
So because they didn't know life when life began, then they allowed abortion.
Well, yeah, that's where the whole viability, you know, they claim came in. And they, I think they even referred to it as a, quote, potential life.
Yes, they did. You're absolutely right.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Potential life.
Yeah. Which always just astonished me, because I thought, well, you know, what else would it be? A ham sandwich? You know, of course it's a life, dummies.
Well,
they would say anything and do anything to advance their agenda.
Well, here's the thing.
The advancement. Oh, go ahead.
No, here's the thing. Yep, the whole point is, these people hate God. These people, you know, God made it very clear in his word, all of those that hate God love death. All of those that hate God love death. And here, you know, one of the things that the vast majority of people don't know, and I know you went to law school, but I taught biblical law for years, okay? And there's a big difference in what is lawful and what is legal, okay? There's a major difference in what is lawful and what is legal. And in God's Word, the Bible, if you ask, and in fact, unfortunately, if you ask the majority of pastors in this country, where do we get the divine institution of human government, right? The very first divine institution that God gave us was marriage and the family, huh? And when he did that, he gave us the definition of marriage. One man, one woman, one lifetime, okay? And here, when he gave us the divine institution of human government. Now, when I say this, I'm talking about real human government, legitimate human government. What we have today in this country is illegitimate. The Bible calls it a bastard government that we have. According to God's word, which is the law, right here, this is the law, okay? According to God's word, we have to give absolutely no credence at all to the government here that we have in this country today. They have gone totally against the word of God. They have become totally illegitimate. Now, Ron, if I was to ask you, what were the 5 points of divine human government, what would you say?
That's a hard one.
I can tell you what they all say. We'll ask Pastor, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I'll just take you there. Let's go to Genesis 9. Genesis chapter 9. I want to read you this here. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Here we go again. Replenish the earth, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, and upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea, and to your hand are they delivered. Now, I want to stop there for a minute. Katie, when he gave us the divine institution in here, this is called the Noahic Covenant. And you'll find that there are 5 points that he has given in here. The first point is, to whom did he give this to? And here you go. Here's the answer. And God said, this token of covenant that I will make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. Okay, so he gave it to all mankind for perpetual generations. And now, this covers all dispensations. This covers all 7 dispensations. Now, here, the second point was the intent. The intent. Now, I just read you the intent, but did you realize it? Here, I'll give it again. And here he said, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, and upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fish of the sea. And to your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing shall be meat for you as you are. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. Now, here, Katie, is the intent. The intent was that man was to govern for God. Man was to govern for God. But here's number 3. This is the most important. This is the most important right here. Number 3. And surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast. Will I require it? At the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require it? The life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. And again he says, and you be fruitful and multiply, and bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. Now, the third point, now this was the entire purpose, Katie. The entire purpose of divine human government was to preserve the image of God, that being man. Not to destroy it, but to preserve the image of God. Our government, Washington, D.C., is as illegitimate can be. It can't be any more illegitimate. We don't owe anything to that government. We owe no obedience to that government, not a bit at all, because it is... In fact, it would be wrong for us to be in compliance with that wicked, illegitimate government, Washington, D.C. Now, the fourth point were the means by which man was to govern for God. God's laws, God's statutes, God's covenants, God's ordinance, God's commands, God's promises, etc. And the fifth point was this. All nations and all people that were being in compliance with the first 4 would be at peace and not at war with God. At one time, there were some that were in compliance. Not today. I don't think there's a there's a country in this world that's in compliance with God's laws. Amen?
Yep.
Okay, so now that is the law. That is what's lawful, not legal. And so from here, Katie, do you remember, I know we talked to the Attorney General, I think it was about a month ago here in Ohio.
Yeah.
Now, and we talked also about the heartbeat bill being triggered once Roe v. Wade fell. Do you know,
yeah.
do you know, is has when will that go into effect? It's supposed to be immediately.
Yes, actually, Attorney General Dave Yost did, you know, he was true to his word when he spoke with us last month, and he did go into court, and he requested that the injunction that has been, you know, prohibiting the, you know, the inaction of the heartbeat bill be lifted. And I just before I called you this evening on your show, I happened to check some news stories, and right across one of the local stations, it said, Ohio heartbeat bill goes into effect. So it sounds like the judge did lift the injunction because there was nothing else that, you know, she could do at that point. And so, yes, as of now, we do have the heartbeat bill, the one that was passed all the way back in 2019, but has been kind of in limbo for, you know, for 3 years since then. So now we have that. So that's great. But, you know, of course, as you know, Pastor, because you're part of the Right to Life Action Coalition of Ohio, we are, you know, we're not going to stop there. We're still going to keep working to get a personhood bill going in the Ohio Senate. And, you know, we want that unborn child personhood recognized as a protected status. So, you know, that's something that we're going to keep pushing for. And so we're not going to give up until there's absolutely no murder of innocence in the state of Ohio.
Well, you know, one of the problems we've had from the very beginning was whatever, you know, regulations that they had in these bloody abortion mills, they never kept up. They never did it. They didn't comply with the laws. You know, I mean, half the bloody abortion mills in this state were running without a license, had no license for years. And so are we going to be able to enforce that, do you think?
Well, that's a very good question, and yes, as a matter of fact, talking about the, you know, prior to this decision coming down, you know, we had six surgical abortion facilities in Ohio, and as of, you know, last time I checked, which was I think last month, all six of them were operating under expired licenses, and, you know, so it's very frustrating because you bring this to the attention of the Ohio Department of Health, and then nothing happens. You know, the Ohio Department of Health is the one supposed to be overseeing this stuff, and they continually grant, you know, variances and extensions and everything else, or they just flat out ignore it altogether. So, you know, we at Cleveland Right to Life and the Action Coalition, that's one of the things that we, you know, we know that we have to work on is to kind of get down to the enforcement issue, because you're absolutely correct. It, you know, it's great to have the heartbeat bill, but you know, who knows if it's going to be enforced. And so the next frontier, once a fetal heartbeat is detected, now they're going to start pushing the chemical abortion pills. That's something else that we have to keep an eye on as well. And we have talked to some legislators down in Columbus who have agreed that what's going on with these abortion clinics is egregious. And, you know, we're talking to some of them about possibly at least holding some public hearings, because I think a lot of even people down in Columbus have no clue what's going on, honestly. And so it's up to us to inform them. And some of them are really horrified when we tell them about the things that are just going by the wayside and nobody's, you know, everybody's turning a blind eye to it. So it is very frustrating because we get these laws on the books and then, you know, whether they're actually going to be enforced the way they're supposed to is anybody's guess. So that's going to be our next the next battle that we're going to fight. So we have a couple of things going on. We're going to do our best to try to hold their feet to the fire. I think they know that all eyes are going to be on them, and you know whether they, you know, start complying is going to be, you know, it's going to be tough because they have all the money of Planned Parenthood and ACLU and everybody else behind them, and You know, they're not going to want to give up that cash.
You just gave the answer to that. It's called pay to play. Look, I wondered, you know, here's what they do. Do you remember a guy named Joe Scheidler?
No, sir.
Pro-Life Action League out of Chicago, the grandfather of the pro-life action. He was out there, the very first people, back when Roe v. Wade was passed. Joe was, he led where it came to coming out against these bloody abortion mills and preaching out in front of them and speaking and going into them. And what happened was he made a DVD. Back in those days, it was the old, not the DVDs, but what were they called? The old cassette?
VHS.
VHS, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when he had it, he had these women that had come out of the abortion industry. They were working in there. And they gave testimony on how they actually had workshops on how to get these politicians into bed, how to bribe them, how to blackmail them. And what they would do is they would seduce them. They would go and get them in a motel room. It was right in the video. It was a long video, and you had all these women giving the testimony. And they would take like a wash rag or an ashtray, anything that had even a little, you know, tablet, whatever had the logo of that hotel on it. And when it came to legislation, they would write them a little letter, send that piece, and say, "Remember this night," and say, you're going to sponsor or vote for this bill, or people will find out about this, okay? That was one of the things they did. I was just absolutely, dumbfounded. I've known Mike DeWine for 40 years. Mike and George Voinovich and I spoke together on many occasions, and he was adamantly pro-life. And then all of a sudden he appoints Amy Acton. What happened here? What happened? Something is totally, completely wrong, okay, here. And so, and that is why with her, and then now her successor, is the reason why they're not enforcing these laws. And, you know, that's why these are running without licenses at all, and the corruption. What do you think about all that?
Well, you know, I can't speak to any corruption that's currently going on, but I, you know, like you, I'm a little surprised because, even though I've only been with Cleveland Right to Life for a relatively short period of time, I've been in Ohio, and so I always thought of Mike DeWine as being very pro-life, and, you know, he loved to wave his pro-life credentials around and, you know, how many kids he and Fran have and everything. And, you know, and I thought, okay, well, that's great. But, you know, I was just totally shocked at the way he totally buckled under when it came to this whole pandemic nonsense and everything that happened and shut everything down. And he, you know, he let this Amy Acton person call the shots on everything. And I was really shocked because I thought, hey, we have a Republican governor. We're not going to look like New York and, you know, shut down and, you know, And the fact that he was letting this Obama activist...
and who was involved with Planned Parenthood. She was involved with Planned Parenthood up to her eyeballs. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it's just... And I'm saying, and Mike and George Voinovich and I, we spoke together at pro-life events several times, and just amazing. Well, we're coming up to a break. And when we come back after the break, we have a whole lot of stuff to cover. I mean, boy, we really do, because we got to lay out our battle plans. And John McTernan, Chaplain, would you get ready to say a prayer, because we need some courage. We need some courage, right? So we'll be back right after this. Don't go away. A lot more to come.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio,
4465. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.